Hey, if you're listening to this, I will assume you're at least interested in money, understanding the economy, and finances as well. And some of us now want to get the next generation interested as well. So check out Million Bazillion, Marketplace's award-winning kids podcast that breaks down money to help dollars make more sense. Tune into Million Bazillion wherever you find your favorite podcasts. A whole new season is out now. Million Bazillion is presented in partnership with Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Greenlight helps kids and teens learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Get 1 month free and an extra $10 when you sign up for a Greenlight account at greenlight.com/million.
Okay.
Oh my goodness. You caught me mid-yawn, yo. What the what?
It wasn't even
what
a side
the
Monday.
What? Hey everybody, it's Kai. Molly's on the other end of the line here. It's the Make Me Smart Daily Edition, where we try our best to make today make sense for y'all.
Yep. I think it's fair to say nothing today has made sense at all. There have been some literal jaw drops. There have been some audible gasps. There have been some WTAFs sent around.
Wow. You're going all in.
It's been a heck of a day. Heck of a day in the news department. But we're going to do what we do, which is each share a news fix, try to make some things at least make sense, and then go for the pick-me-up. Happy Monday, everyone.
Okay. All right. Good. So I will I'm so curious as to what you think were the WTAF issues of the day. I mean, I've got my list. But anyway, so let's I want to talk about Target for a minute, and I want to talk about it in this context. I've been getting my family – have been getting a boatload of things from Target delivered to just inside our front gate with no contact, no muss, no fuss, no nothing. I click a thing or two on my computer and boom, 4 days later it shows up. And that's extraordinary. And the people who do it for us are extraordinary. And so I was heartened today to see that Target is going to extend its $2 an hour temporary hazard pay for those workers through July the 4th. My only quibble is only $2?
And only through July.
Yeah, well, so they're going to, my guess would be that they're going to extend it again. I don't know.
I think so too.
I want to believe. Because it's not like the need's going to go away by the 4th of July. But look, I think Target's been essential for me. It's been essential for a whole lot of people. And I think the people who are doing the essential part of it should be compensated for their time and their risk. And so $2, but, you know, make it 3 or 5 or whatever. Anyway.
I think it's been really interesting to watch this. Yeah, Amazon announced, like, they did a $2 bump for warehouse workers, and then they just said, that'll end in June.
We're done.
Yeah, yep. I think that this somewhat does relate to the conversation about unemployment, too. Like, I think that these companies may find themselves in a position where they're going to have to pay more, and they probably should have been all along to get people to do this work at all. So I agree. It's a good thing, and there shouldn't necessarily be a time limit on it. I wonder if that's about stock. Because isn't it kind of sad that these companies came out, if they said, we're going to do a permanent $2 to $3 increase per hour for every employee, then their stock would tank. Because
Well, today was a huge up market, right? But ticker symbol TGT up 3.5% today.
You know? Yep.
I mean, for whatever that's worth.
Yeah.
Right.
Also, very good Amazon alternative. I'm with
you
on that one.
And look, everybody needs a good Amazon alternative. For reals, for reals, for reals.
Sorry, but you do. I am going to regret this, probably. Although I will say that
eyes wide open.
My people on Twitter are wonderful, and we have engaged in perfectly lovely conversations about many, many things, up to and including Elon Musk. But we talked a week ago or so sometime in the past stretch of eternity here about Elon Musk declaring that he, unlike every other car company, which has stair-stepped toward an opening date in compliance with its local regulations and officials, that he alone would defy local authorities and, by God, open up his Tesla plant. And if that anybody was going to get arrested for it, it ought to be him. And we were like, come on. So other times that we've talked about Elon Musk, I have said, hey, it's important to consider the incentives of people who, for whatever reason, are powerful people in particular who are powerfully acting against the grain. One of Elon Musk's incentives was a $700 million payout based on the benchmark performance of Tesla. The other I just happened to learn about right before the show started, which is that, wouldn't you know, if Tesla were to be able to join the S&P 500 and be listed in that particular stock index, it would have to have shown an accumulated profit over four consecutive quarters. It has profited over its past three quarters, but things were looking dicey for just a minute there when the factory was closed. And Tesla also closed its Shanghai factory for a little while, so nobody was producing cars for Tesla for a brief and probably terrifying time if, for example, Elon Musk wants to raise capital for his company by being listed on the S&P 500 stock exchange. So I'm going to read from the Wall Street Journal right now when I say the connection could help explain why Mr. Musk was so determined to reopen the plant, which has been idled since March 23rd by local authorities trying to stem the spread of COVID-19, the disease caused by the new coronavirus.
Yeah.
So there you go. Look, for everybody who came at me and was like, he's trying to do the right thing, or like, don't join the Elon is bad club, or the this or that, there is always an incentive. And that incentive is not public health. Dang it.
I'm just going to let that sit there. I got nothing to add.
I also want to give a shout out to Wesley Faulkner, who has been my Twitter homie for a long time, who tweeted today at you and me and Marketplace and said this really interesting thing. He said, I've heard of predictions of a V and U-shaped recovery from this downturn. Just as a side note, I read about a possible W-shaped recovery.
Yep.
Where there would be like a quick up and then a down and then. But Wesley says, has there been any talk of a K-shaped recovery where some groups recover really quickly and others continue their decline? And I just thought that was remarkable. I don't know if that's like a real thing in economist talk, but can we make it one? Because, oh my God, that totally makes sense.
And the size and scale of this crisis. No, it totally is. The size and scale of this crisis is pulling out all kinds of different interpretations of the shape of the recovery. You've heard of the Nike swoosh, right?
Yeah. Is that one? Is there a swoosh recovery?
That's one, right? So it's, you go down real hard and then long and slow over time, you come up, right? It looks like a Nike swoosh.
That's, do we have to like put a TM behind that or something? Shape.
Yeah, probably, right? And we have to pay for like $500 every time we say it on the pod.
Exactly. I love the K-shaped.
But look, actually, I mean, in all honesty, that's probably really realistic, right? And it's actually probably K-shaped. It's K-shaped within industries. Like, there will be some restaurants which will not survive, and there will be some that will, you know, certainly survive and maybe even do well. Same thing for, you know, the knick-knack shop down in the corner or whatever.
Right. Places, like maybe the conference industry never really comes back the way that it was. I just think I thought that was a really good and sharp observation. And it highlights all the inequalities that we've talked about, but also just the sort of sea change of like life.
Yeah.
So good, Wesley. So good.
Yep. For sure.
Yep. All right. That's all I got.
All right. Next item, please.
Do the happies.
Shall we? There we go. I'm guessing it's happy. Is it happy? Yes, let's do the happies.
Okay.
What's yours?
What you got?
What do I got? All right. This genuinely made me laugh out loud. Mine today. You know what else we have to do? And this is a little behind the fourth wall here. We have to figure out the delay on my Comrex because you and I keep stepping on each other. And it's making me a little crazy.
Oh, sorry.
Is it not making you crazy?
You know what? No. And that is sometimes the weird thing about a delay is that there's like only a delay on your side.
Oh, that's so
And it sounds fine to me.
It sounds like I'm stepping on you all over the place, and that's not cool. Anyway, so mine is derived from an actual news item of the last like 18 or so hours, and that is that SoftBank, the Japanese conglomerate, which has done a bunch of stuff, of which the most famous in recent year or two, whatever, is its ginormous investment in WeWork and that whole thing that came a cropper, frankly, in the last like 6 months or a year. And they have lost billions and billions of dollars on WeWork. And so the Financial Times did a story on it, right? And then in the comment section at FT.com came this comment. Masayoshi-san doesn't know the difference between a profit and a loss. Profit spelled P-R-O-P-H-E-T after, of course, the guy whose name escapes me now, who founded WeWork and sold everybody this thing that wasn't really a viable business. Get it? Profit and loss?
And did you see the FT story that he was commenting on? Because part of that also, so it was like a triple whammy of brilliance in that comment, because he compared himself, Masa-son did, to Jesus Christ in trying to defend the loss. Like, he was like, well, Jesus was also really misunderstood. I mean, that comment was like so genius.
So genius.
Yes. Chalk one up for the FT.com users.
Yeah, that's a smart bunch right there.
Okay.
Okay, mine is way more lowbrow. But so there was this great tweet, Paul by at Paul Benson Sucks, who has since changed his name to Paul E. Cheese, because Paul revealed to the world this amazing fact. He said yesterday, this is in a tweet that now has 243,000 likes. Yesterday, I found out that Chuck E. Cheese realized people didn't want to order takeout from Chuck E. Cheese. So they changed their info in Grubhub apps to Pasquale's Pizza and tricked a bunch of people into ordering Chuck E. Cheese because Pasquale or Pascal is one of the characters in the Rat Band. Chuck E. Cheese Rat Band. And this delighted me on a million levels, one of which is that that's hysterical. And there's like trivia about Chuck E. Cheese, but also because I'm sorry, but the cold hard truth is that pizza is freaking delicious.
No, delicious. Excuse me, no.
Yep. I don't care what you said. I knew you were going to go here. I knew you were going to be like, that's disgusting.
I didn't go anywhere.
That pizza is so good.
I went nowhere.
So good.
I was on the receiving end of bad pizza advice.
It has cheese in the crust. Like, it is so good. My brother and I have been known to just take our children and drive there and just eat the pizza. And so I was like, oh, I am getting some Pasquales.
Wow. That's pretty funny.
It is so hilarious that they've tricked all these people, and then people are like mad about it, and I'm like, why are you mad? You liked the pizza. I know you did.
Oh,
hysterical.
Molly.
Pasquale's Molly. Pizza and Wings, named after another favorite member of Munch's make-believe band, shares kitchen space with the Chuck E. Cheese restaurant.
Honestly, some of the worst parenting times of my life are in the freaking Chuck E. Cheese's, man. Come on.
Oh my God, no, it's awful. It's an awful place, and the pizza is delicious. But that's the thing. My niece, who is 7 years old, looked me dead in the eye one time and was like, you know, Chuck E. Cheese is a dirty rat who lives in the bathroom. And I was like, yeah, and that's why no one wants to order pizza from them. I said, but don't you agree that pizza is delicious? And she was like, it is. That is true.
Oh, my God. Your whole family.
Pasquale's Pizza and Wings. Oh, no, we're trashy. Yeah. No, that's true. That's
fair
a true
enough.
Fact.
Look, at least you own
I'm fine
it.
With that.
At least you own it.
And that is our daily show. We will be back tomorrow with a way more highbrow situation. Return to workplace tech and the tension, the sort of like internal tension between surveillance, privacy, and apparently our health. So that's exciting. In the meantime, you can check out our daily explainers on your smart speaker. Just tell your Echo device, make me smart. Kai is on there today talking about GDP.
Oh my goodness.
Fun topic.
Oh my goodness.
Fun times.
Don't miss it. Come on. Gripping information. Oh, geez, it is. It's super important. All right. Send us your questions. Would you make me smart at marketplace.org? Subject line, ought to read questions. And that'll get Sam and Tony and everybody to get it to the right place. And then on Wednesday, it's what do you want on Wednesday? By the way, GDP really is gripping. It's super important. Just for the record.
Oh, I totally agree. I'm into it.
All right.
Yeah. Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Sam Anderson. Our digital producer is Tony Wagner. Our senior producer is Jody Becker. Next week, I want these to all be replaced with members of the Munch Made Up Creative Band. Ben Hethcote is our video producer. Ethan Parrott is our video intern. And thanks to writer-producer Erica Phillips. Do I keep going? The music stopped.
No, I got it. Daniel Ramirez engineered today. I was right. The theme music was composed by Mentality. And Daniel, the executive director of On Demand, is Star Nieves. And the senior vice president and general manager is Deborah Clark. Man, we overshot the music. Ah, well.
We just.
No. Right. It's all good.
You don't have to take the blame. I was going on and on about pizza.
You wrote the music, man. You can do whatever you want with the music.
It's really true. You could remix it. You could like
start at the top with your music and you'd be like, I wrote it, suckas. Here it is.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.